I know. Conversation.
Mike, would you pair this beer with Skyline Chili?
No, negative. I wouldn't stack Skyline Chili with dog food. So sorry.
Wow.
If you stick noodles in something that has beans that's not chili. So, that's an abomination.
So no noodles and beans.
Okay. Apparently not. No,
unless you want to break out the chopsticks.
Hey, wait, what's that weird thing your family makes from Ohio that's got noodles in it?
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Those are, okay. You know, Amish, you know, noodles and mashed potatoes is a delicacy.
That's totally different.
Those are
egg noodles.
That's so normal. Oh, that's such a normal thing to eat. Yeah.
God. Okay.
I think some of the things I think about pairing this with would be what I call a five cheese grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, heck
yeah. An adult version of, you know, just two massively fresh, you know, slices of sourdough bread, jacked up with some garlic salt, five different kinds of cheeses, Colby Jack, provolone, cheddar,
So lots of milk fat and salt to kind of pair with this sort of sweeter, slicker little
beer. Let that thing melt until you just go, I think it might be ready.
Yeah. Know? Okay.
So
cool. So what are we going to rate this Enlightenment Blood Orange? Sure. Oh my God, a 4.
How about that? Great wheat beer.
Well, that was a good Ohio accent. Oh my God, a 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't know, Mike has spent time in Ohio, and we will be back in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone.
Oh, wow.
So, today's
episode,
besides Dave getting really excited.
Wowie!
We were tasting the next beer.
Okay. We are talking about Third Eye Brewing in the Cincinnati, Sharonville, Ohio area. And we're doing a brewery takeover. And so far, I have to say, this has been a really nice flight.
Yes. Can we name this episode, You're Gonna Make My Third Eye Blue?
Wow. Okay. So we are going to get into this next beer, which is called Getting Twisted German Pretzel
Ale. The aroma on this beer is
okay, let me speak.
Crazy.
Let me speak. So this is 5.2% ABV, and this is a German pretzel ale, which I honestly didn't even know a German pretzel ale could exist. So this award-winning beer was inspired by everyone's favorite salty snack, the pretzel. German barley, rye, and wheat mingle with a touch of salt to deliver this delicious one-of-a-kind liquid pretzel experience. Now, this won gold medal in 2022 and 2024 at the Ohio Craft Brewers Cup.
The first thing that struck me with the aroma is it is incredibly floral. I mean, it tastes like you have just walked into a flower shop.
Or it smells like you went into a flower shop.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it is just...
Are you getting any breadiness?
I'm getting the bread on it. I'm getting like crackers.
Bakery.
Yeah.
Okay. So a bakery and a florist were next to each other.
I think like when you're about
doors open.
When you're like 4 or 5 inches away from it, it's the floral part. But then when you go in closer, that's when the bread and the cracker really starts coming in.
The bread comes out.
Yeah, dude. This thing's got layers going on.
Yeah, this is definitely, so one, I don't know of a reference beer that's called pretzel ale. So I'm just looking at it, you know, for what's in the glass, and I'm going, wow. The thing that is really horrible about this beer is that I do not have a larger glass.
This is seriously like
really great, very tasty. You know, I'm like, wow, just can you give me a giant pretzel and a thing of mustard and just a small sign that says go away?
That little bit of salt that's in it, it just sort of accentuates all the other flavors. It's definitely like if you mashed up pretzels and made a beer out of that, you know.
For all we know, maybe they did. I mean, I don't know. Are you getting any spiciness, like any rye spiciness? I don't know, but I'm actually
a little bit
tearing up a little bit.
Enjoy.
I'm crying a little bit. This might be.
It's I would describe the mouthfeel as creamy. Lively, creamy. Yeah.
I finally know what love feels like.
This is definitely Stein-worthy, you know, beer. Yeah. You know, something that you would have saying, I just want a full liter of this.
Is this going to take over the Oktoberfest?
If there was another style of beer to be introduced, you know, during Oktoberfest,
this would be
I would be saying this is it, yeah.
How I'm interesting. Shocked. Yeah. How interesting.
Again, you know, I find myself coming to some of the same, you know, points of conclusion of saying the thing that I like about this the most is what it's not, which is it's not overdone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there again, this finite measure of grand restraint of jacking this thing up with so much, you know,
which could easily be done
flavor that it would have just, but what
a lot of breweries,
really good harmony, great balance, you know, I love for what they didn't do to this.
A lot of breweries would have made this like 7%. It would have been
a sugar bomb,
kind of red because there would have been so much rye in there that they were trying to make it actually look like a pretzel.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it would have had some kind of crazy German hop profile or whatever. This is like, you could get a glass of this and a, you know, some pretzel with a beer cheese and you're freaking going, man.
It definitely reminds me of a lot of, Pennsylvania, you know, style rye whiskey. It really has a lot of some of those same, you know, floral components. I could pour a Sagamore, you know, rye for you right now, and you'd go, man, Mike, you're just dead on, you know, between those.
Oh, sure. Or a little Wiggle.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania rye whiskey. Yeah. Yeah. I sure.
Everybody likes a little Wiggle in them.
The saltiness, though, it's like I feel it on my lips. I don't necessarily taste it, but I know that it's there.
It reminds me of just when, if you've ever witnessed me, you know, making a world-class, you know, old-fashioned, is the secret ingredient is just two drops of saline.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a lot to be said that, you know, really great beverages are finished off, you know, with just a touch of salt. And
so for all of you out there, if good old boy Mike is making you a cocktail and you notice him with a little eyedropper dropping some things, it's not roofie. Okay. So don't worry.
Yeah. Despite what you may think.
Not this time.
Now, if you get a little sleepy after the drink,
now, it's Dave is coincidental. It is definitely.
It's on. Okay. So let's rate this.
Yeah.
A salt. Oh, five. We're going five. I see five.
Mike has pulled out the fifth finger.
Okay. Last but certainly not least, let's go to the Higher Purpose Milk Stout. Now, this one is 6.3% ABV. A little bit up there.
Well, they can make a beer that's over 5%. Wow.
Live life, do good, and drink beer. The perfect balance of roasted malts, this award-winning stout is dark, sweet, and full-bodied. The caramel, chocolate, and coffee flavors derive from over 9 types of grain combines with the soft, creamy sweetness from the lactose to tantalize the senses. So this one, 2021 GABF Gold and a lot of other awards.
The only thing I don't like about this beer is the mouthfeel.
It's a little watery.
Well, it's a little thin.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't know that I would call this a milk stout either.
Nope.
I think it's a roasty.
It's definitely more of that Rasputin.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not Russian style. Imperial, but it's definitely not milk
but it's
stout.
In it's, that. It's headed just, into that territory.
It's a stout. Yeah. You know, just call it a stout. You know, call it a, you know, you could almost call it a coffee stout.
No. It's definitely not bitter enough to head down that path to being declared, you know, a Russian stout and a roast, you know, that you would think of. But
do you get a lot of sweetness from the milk? Or?
No. You know, milk solids or flakes of lactose that they added here. It's if it is, it is like way in the back of
which
this.
I appreciate that, but you know, but it's, I think it's again, this is like one of those where maybe they just called it the wrong thing.
I agree. I think this is a good stout beer that I think that they just mislabeled.
Okay. Yeah. But as a stout, let's say we're going to rate this a 4. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. I think this was a great episode, and we need to drive up to this area.
Cincinnati. Great beer. I thought what was interesting is the beers that you know they highlighted, at least, you know, the Double Astral, Dark Aura, Dark Aura, and Intersight were not in our flight today.
Sorry, buddy.
I like to think that, you know, the best was not necessarily.
If those are their
flight,
core beers and we didn't have them and all this was
imagine?
This good.
Could you imagine? Anyways, yes. Okay. Well, good old boy, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Keep on sipping and enjoying great beer like this.
Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, thanks for enjoying good old boy, Mike.
And this is good old gal, Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. The massive Andean condor doesn't fly. It sails the wind. With wings that stretch more than 10 feet across, they glide for hours without flapping above the Andes Mountains from Colombia to Argentina. Because they are so heavy, up to 33 pounds, condors save their energy by riding the thermals rising off the cliffs and mountains, a black silhouette drifting across the clouds, with a white collar and white feathers on top of their wings. In the mythology of the Incas, the condor was a sacred creature who carried messages between the heavens and earth. But the Andean condor is more than a symbol. As scavengers, they play a vital ecological role, cleaning up the landscape and preventing the spread of disease. Like many vultures, condors don't always get the gratitude they deserve, and their populations are declining. Indian condors don't reproduce until they're at least 6 years old, and raise just one chick every 2 years. So when lead poisoning or habitat loss strikes, recovery is painfully slow. Still, the Indian condor persists, thanks to conservation efforts across South America, where several countries have adopted this majestic raptor as their national emblem, including Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, and Ecuador. They may not dazzle with color or song, but their silent presence above the peaks remains sacred, even today. For BirdNote, I'm Lucina Melesio.
Doesn't know where she is. Shopping carts through the streets. I swear it's the only way it should be seen.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. You do not need to be a sustainability manager to get your employer to take climate action.
Anyone in any role has the capacity to become a climate leader.
Lucy Piper is with the nonprofit Work for Climate, which offers resources and training to help people exert influence from within companies. Some push their employers to switch to clean energy. Others advocate for climate-safe 401k options or more sustainable supply chains. Piper says when she started this work, she thought she knew what would make someone effective.
Extroverted, very confident and capable at getting the ear of a CEO or a senior executive.
But she soon realized how much influence people can also exert from behind the scenes. For example, they can evaluate the business case for going solar, find ways for the company to reduce waste, or amplify others' efforts.
Climate leadership is not about your rank or where you sit in the hierarchy of a company. It's about having the internal courage and commitment to look at what you can do from where you're at right now and finding your allies inside that company and just creating the spark to get started.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
have to yell. I'm right here. I'm right here. I've got no lies to sell. I'm right here. I'm right here. Look me in the eye. I'm right here. I'm right here. You don't have to yell.
Next station is Sherburne. Sherburne station.
Right on.
Five, so.